He is Robin Leach. He is Jada Markin. This is Car Keys.
And we are in April, for whoever listens to this show and hears this, and a major event in Connecticut took place recently in the form of a 25-cent drop in gas prices, because Connecticut has a tax break on that for up from now until June 30th of 2022. Observations. The morning of April 1st, which is not the day the show is taped, I drove around a lot of Fairfield County, Connecticut, and even out of Connecticut into Massachusetts, and observed gas pricing signs at lots of places. Interesting thing, there were two Sunoco stations on one road. One had not lowered the price, and there was somebody trying to fill up. Another, not a half a mile away, had lowered the price, and there was over a 25 cents difference because the two stations already had been different in what they were asking. So one was under $4 a gallon, and the other was still up at 4.27 or 28. And I looked, it was on the big sign, it tells you what the price is, and I noticed it was still on the pumps. Whether the pumps actually had been changed, although the signage might not have been, I can't tell. But this discrepancy occurred even through the weekend when I returned to Fairfield County, and there were still stations that had not seemingly reduced their prices. Now, this pricing thing has been bothering me, and I don't know what Jay's take is. We'll get his take shortly, I hope, about what's happening if they don't reduce those prices, but somebody said they could be subject to fines. In our broadcast area, I noticed that the prices had come down, but they're still above $4 where I saw them, because the prices had been in the $4.35 range when I left town on April 1st. And they had not had any interim price reductions from their highs before the price reduction was supposed to go into effect. Whereas down in New Milford, they had had interim price reductions below the 425 to 440 range that New Milford had been experiencing, and most of them are well under $4. 375, in fact, is what New Milford is offering as I do this show, wherever it is in April, you hear it. And that tells me that the wholesaler to our northwest corner did not gift any of their stations with interim price reductions that might have been able to make the 25-cent reduction become below $4 as April 1st took effect.
Would you like his phone number?
No, I don't want it.
Okay.
So it's all over the place in Connecticut where the prices are at. On I-95, it was distressing to see mobile stations, central mobile stations that are along I-95 as you go north from New Canaan area, have different prices for their gas. None of them were below $4. The lowest I saw on I-95 was $4.04, which meant that the old price had been, I guess, $4.29. And the others were 414 or 410. so be it for, I mean, obviously if they all went down 25 cents, those using those same stations were going to get the 25 cent break. Some of the major buying clubs, like Costco and BJ's, are down as low as $3.75 a gallon, which is a major situation. I filled up my vehicle that I used all weekend and put $77 worth of gas in a 21-gallon gas tank in Connecticut at these lowered prices. This tells listeners what they are paying for gas at anything above $3.75 a gallon for big tanks like that. And I happened to fill up next to a person who was filling up a pickup truck. And I know the pickup trucks come with the base gallon rate is 25-gallon tanks, but the big tanks are 35 gallons. And I had a nice conversation with him, and he said it had cost him $145 to fill his pickup truck when he was really empty. And he told, and I said, you're getting 15 to 18 miles a gallon, correct? He said, no, 13 miles a gallon. So this is what's been going on with the expensive gas pain that we've been experiencing, both before and even after the 25 cents break we have in Connecticut right now. Other states, at least Massachusetts, does not have it. Rhode Island does not have it. And they were all up in the 425 to 445 per gallon, I noticed, as I went through those states over the weekend of this broadcast show. That's out on the gas. The next thing I want to go in before... Jay, you want to comment?
Yeah, I think I'll make the long story very short. I think we just need to drive less, quit complaining. Gas in other parts of the world is twice as expensive as it is here. It is substantially lower, or a little lower, down south. I was up and down I-95. I drove back from Florida last week, and it was, when it was up in the $4 here, it was around 380 something in the southern states, like North and South Carolina. A couple comments, too. This is the price just for regular gas. A lot of us, or a lot of people around here, drive very nice cars that run on premium gas. And the price of premium is, in a lot of cases,
still high,
$5 a gallon. So it's another, you know, 25%
more. Yes, and at the wholesale clubs in Connecticut, they were well under, but they were for like $4.37 for premium at the buying clubs. Now, the buying clubs don't generally charge exorbitant surcharges for the mid-grade. Well, they don't have mid-grade. They just have regular and premium, super premium at 93 octane. But they do not, in my experience, charge exorbitant prices above the base regular grade. At most BJ's, for example, was 40 cents a gallon above the regular grade, and I didn't quite check it to see if it was still 40 cents higher than at the lower rate, but it was definitely under $3.50 a gallon, whereas the majors that we are used to seeing them at often are charging anywhere up, possibly up to 70 cents or more for premium gas. And you're right, Jay, anybody who buys cars that theoretically require, not just recommend, premium, are paying that much more money per tank full than we are for regular grade used cars. Now, I'm not sure whether diesel qualified for that 25 cents grade. Do you know, being a diesel user?
I don't, and I haven't put diesel in my tank in a long time, and it is over $5 a gallon.
It is over $5 a gallon still, I saw it in Connecticut. So I'm not sure it qualified for the 25 cents break. But anyways, I'd like to move on to something else. I've been blessedly free, for my listeners' interest, not that they are, in not having road highway breakdowns for most of my life and driving, and it's been a long time. I have had more trouble on the road in the past 3 years with some of my older vehicles than I've had in pretty much everything before the 3 years that have been going on. And I had a major tire breakdown on I-95 over this week, the weekend I left Connecticut to go up to Massachusetts to where I was going to open up my summer cottage. And it resulted in a three-hour stay on the side of I-95 in the state of Massachusetts, waiting for appropriately proper AAA service to come and take care of my vehicle.
What car, what tire, if I may ask?
Michelin tire failed, and I was driving my Eurovan, which was packed full with stuff. And admittedly, to full disclosure, the Michelin tire that shredded its belt inside, and it was a rear tire this time, was the second Michelin tire to shred its belt. And full disclosure means that these Michelin tires were probably 8 years old, which brings me to the conversation about old tires on vehicles. Some of these new tires come with 90,000-mile tread life warranties. Goodyear has an assurance brand tire that does that. I have them on my Sonata. I asked a dealer how long the rubber would last to deal with the 90,000-mile tread life warranty, and of course, they're prorated, so they don't just give you new brand new tires if they run out of tread at 75,000 miles. So you don't get a new tire free. You get it prorated, so it's you're probably paying 70 or 85% for a new tire retail cost instead of the full price. But the fact of the matter is that tires degrade on the outside, especially when cars are outside, left in sunlight, and not used a lot. So you can drive 1,000 miles a year on a tire, but the tire can wear out well before the tread life wears out. And this is what happened in the tire. It gave me an audible warning that something was going on about 45 miles before it lost its carcass inside and blew out in the back. And I therefore sat on the side of the road for up to 3 hours, I think, before the tow truck came to have to take the car to a serviceable place for the following morning. Because this happened at 6:30 in the evening. And here's what I learned about AAA service. They can be great when they arrive, but you also have to know a lot of other things. You have to know what I didn't know was that the spare tire under the Eurovan, which is a 2,000-year vehicle, and never had had its spare tire that was underneath the car used, was totally rotten and useless to be used as a tire change alternative for the blown-out tire. That meant that the vehicle could not be serviced on the highway. First service truck that came from AAA was not able to deal with the tire because they said that the spare was useless. That resulted in their calling another vehicle to come, which had to be a flatbed truck to put the vehicle up on the flatbed because they couldn't tow it down the road because of the bad tire. And that truck didn't come for an hour and a half because it was on other calls. So by the time that truck arrived, it was 9 o'clock, and it was dark, and the traffic was whizzing by on I-95, as it tends to do. And this is between Providence, Rhode Island, and Fall River, Mass., and what I call it the speedway, probably 75 miles an hour. As dusk approached, there were several vehicles that came down the right-hand lane, which we were parked against on the side of the road in the breakdown lane, without headlights on. Talk about being worried about being outside your vehicle and or being naked with your flashers running and maybe seeing being rear-ended on a road like this was frightening.
So can I barge in here? It brings me to a good safety tip, and it's actually state law in certain southern states like Florida, and you know, you see the signs.
Go ahead. The law is,
you know, when there's an emergency vehicle in the side broken down lane,
right.
You know, move over one lane. Which
that is the law. You are correct.
People because they're not in the right lane to begin with. But if you are in the right lane, where you should be, move over one lane.
Okay, but now I want to get back to the lessons learned from this. You need to drive, and not many of the listeners, I'm sure, and not many people understand what their situation with their vehicle is. We have talked on this show over time about some new cars coming without any spare tires at all. And when I bought my Sonata 6 years ago or 7 years ago, I was not told there was no spare in the rear. Until I needed a spare, I found out that I didn't have any spare. I never looked in the vehicle when I bought it because we were all used to getting spare tires in our cars 2 decades ago. And little by little, there has been there have been more and more vehicles delivered with only 4 tires in the vehicle, and they come with repair kits. Repair kits are only useful for certain kind of punctures and not useful for blowouts when you really lose the whole carcass of the tire and it make a spare tire required accessories in your vehicle if you're going to get on-road service. The next thing you need to know when you get when you have to become disabled on the side of the road is, where are you? and that means you need to GPS position yourself, because when you call a towing service, the first thing they want to know is where you are. I happened to be between two exits. I didn't know which of the two exits I was behind, but I was in a, I had a mile marker in front of me, which was somewhat helpful, but I did not know which exit it was to tell the tow truck that I was within X mile, you know, X parts of a mile from exit 5, let's say, or exit 8 or exit 7. I did not know what town I was in, because there were no markings about the town, and it was a very rural section of this particular part of the highway. And therefore, it took, and AAA gives you all these apps to locate your vehicle so they can pinpoint you, and that eventually worked. But I felt very stupid when they were asking me on the phone, where was I located so they could locate me. So that was the next thing. The other thing was, going back to the spare tire situation, you should know in your car before you go on a trip or on a long drive, which might include high-speed driving, whether you have a spare tire that has air in it or not, whether you have a spare tire at all, and if you don't have a spare tire but have a non-mounted tire in the back of your vehicle, as I did in this van, whether that could have been used for an alternative to not having a spare tire on a wheel already mounted. And in this particular case, I happened to have another Michelin tire, similar to the one that blew out, because it was connected to the same four that were obviously all worn out. The AAA could not dismount a non-mounted wheel on a wheel, the truck that came, that is. So it could have been of a little bit of help, but it would not have been a safe long-term replacement tire for the particular driving I was doing this week, over the weekend.
So, Robin,
I guess, yeah.
How was the rest of your weekend?
What?
How was the rest of your weekend? Let's move on to...
Fine. I ended up having to buy two new tires because they would not mount one non-branded tire that matched the other branded tire. A Firestone tire in this case, they were mounting. They had to put two Firestone tires, so I had to buy an extra new tire, which was probably smart, because it replaced the remaining Michelin tire, which might have gone on the way home, and I would have had the same problem. But you know a tire is losing its serviceable life when you start hearing a noise that comes from a tire, and many people don't know what that sounds like, and or you feel your car starting to vibrate after you have been driving it for a while and you've had no sign of vibration in the steering or the brakes or the ride of the car, and you start hearing you start getting and feeling a rough ride condition in your vehicle, which could well mean that the tire is going to fail at some point after you start feeling this condition.
All right, we have got, we're done. We're down to the safety.
Time to talk. He's been away. Let's hear what he has to say.
Jay's been traveling a lot, spent 2,000 miles on the roads last week, but that's neither here or there. You know, it's always the same thing. The conditions on the roads are the same. You don't want to be on the New Jersey Turnpike. It's like a suicide mission if you try to do so. But I want to talk a little bit, and Robin, I'm surprised you haven't brought this up, and maybe you have in the last few weeks when I wasn't here, but the New York Auto Show is back on this year, running from April 15th to the 24th.
And I am going.
What's that?
I am going.
I am going, too.
Good.
I think they have a website that explains in details who will be exhibiting what cars, the different activities and different tracks, and indoor electric track with a bunch of different cars that will be available to, I don't know if you will be able to drive them, but at least ride in them indoors. So I'm looking forward to going down there, and maybe some other people in the northwest corner here, or in the tri-state corner rather, would consider doing the trip. I think tickets are
$18.
Yep.
In general, unless you happen to catch a special, in which they become $15, or maybe they're only $16 or to $15. I'm not sure. But it's always been a fun event. It's been canceled for the last couple of years, I think. I'm sure glad it's not canceled this year. I think there's going to be a big percentage of electric vehicles being shown there that are available. I hope to see the Rivian. You've already seen the Rivian, Jay.
I've not seen the Rivian, but I obviously read a lot about it and know a couple of people who still have their orders in with Rivian.
Yeah, I have not seen a Rivian on the road either. I looked for Rivians at my last few days' travels because I traveled, as I just said earlier, the east coast of Connecticut and Massachusetts going up towards the Cape and back over the weekend, and I did not see, I saw, you know, Tesla is still the predominant electric car, as it should be, because it sold more. But there were not a lot of others. I did come up behind a Taycan.
Hey, speaking of Taycan, you did. Where did you? Because I was privy to a delivery experience of a new Taycan that will most likely be seen in the in this neck of the woods. It is a fantastic car. It looks great. It is very well appointed. It is obviously a very high-end electric vehicle. What did you
see? What color?
You tell me what color did you see.
Well, I was behind a blue one.
Okay. Yep, the one I saw up close was not a blue one, but I'm sure it'll be seen here. It is a... what is Porsche's... name for the wagon.
Panamera.
You would love this car. It looks
right.
It looks fantastic. It's a wagon. It's an electric Porsche wagon. Doesn't get any better than that.
Yep, I agree. Broncos are finally showing up in more numbers, so Ford is catching up with their deliveries, I guess. Most of them are soft tops, but the hard tops are starting to be available. I've talked to a couple of owners. They love them. And there has been apparently a very small percentage of V6 motored or equipped Broncos that have had a valve issue. Apparently, there was a batch of bad valves that made it into some of the engines, and it caused the engines to stop running on their owners. That made the Bronco waves, I guess, in news, but not much noise from. Ford at all. I didn't see anything from Ford on it. But electric cars, Jay, you know, they are coming, and you know it, and I know it.
I saw up close the Kia EV6, beautiful-looking SUV, and it's comparable. The Kia and the Ioniq 5 from Hyundai, which are basically the same vehicles, are comparable to, you know, Tesla Model Ys and Model 3s, and certainly an alternative to look at. And
right.
They still benefit from the current $7,500 tax credits. So.
They do indeed. I guess we're about ready to close this
That's
show.
That's right. 30 seconds.
Okay. 30 seconds?
Yep.
I talked to a person who just took a Tesla 3 with his family. That's two children and two adults. From Florida to Nashville, Tennessee, and back, and it took him 14 hours to go. He didn't tell me the length of his stops to charge, but he had at least, I guess, four charging stops to make to get from one end of the trip to the other. And he said it was fine, but it took a little longer because of the charges, because he didn't have any trouble finding charging stations, but they still don't charge in 10 minutes away, gas fill-ups do take.
He is Robin Leach. He is Jay DeMarkin. This is Car Keys.